This morning's scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 15. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am, by mentioning the eagerness of others, testing the genuineness of your love. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my opinion. It is beneficial for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. For I do not mean that there should be relief for others and hardship for you, but it is a question of equality between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may also supply your need, in order that there may be equality. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. Bless the word of the Lord.
Please pray with me. By the power of your Spirit, speak your word to us, O God. Show us who you are and who you are calling us to be. For the sake of your Son and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are very few things that make me as uncomfortable as asking people for money. So it was really surprising to me that when Session was talking about plans for Stewardship Sunday, my mouth opened up and I said, oh, I can do a series of sermons about stewardship throughout the month of November. And I was like, what did I just say? How did that happen? Here's the thing, though. I think stewardship gets a really bad rap. And I think that's because there are a lot of preachers and churches that make it all about money. And they try to guilt us into pledging and to giving. And that's not really how I understand stewardship. Yeah, money is important. Maintaining this building, serving the community, it's not free. But there's a lot more involved than cash. And I'm happy to explain why stewardship is important to me. I'm also not about to make anyone else feel guilty for making decisions that are in their best interest. In this passage, Paul makes some compelling arguments for giving up our money and our time. He's appealing to the Corinthians to take up a collection in support of the poor saints of Jerusalem. And that's not saying that the folks in Jerusalem are more saintly than anyone else. It's just that's how Paul refers to Christians. He refers to all Christians as saints. Well, apparently, the Corinthians pledged to take up a collection like a year ago, and Paul hasn't seen a cent. So he needs to help the Corinthians understand what, why, and how they ought to give. A little confession here, when I was reading this, my inner Greek nerd came out, Greek geek, came out. There are so many really great Greek words in here. Eulogia, liturgia, koinonia, oikonomia. But the word that really does a lot of work in this passage is charis. It's a word that can mean a variety of things. But the general concept is grace, thanks, a favor. Paul knew the importance of this word, charis. He also knew how it could be used in a lot of different ways, and he uses it over and over in his letter. In this short passage, in just these, like, eight verses, he uses it three times. And I really like the way that I chose this translation, the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I really like the way that this translation presents the word charis to us as a generous undertaking. Now, Paul starts out by buttering up the Corinthians, telling them all the things that they're good at, that they're smart and talented, passionate, committed. I hope you don't think that I was just trying to butter you up last week. I genuinely did mean everything I meant, everything I said. But Paul is buttering up the Corinthians. He does still want to stretch them towards charis, a generous undertaking. He's not commanding them to give. He's not trying to create rivalry with the other congregations that, you know, he just happens to mention have taken up collections for the Church of Jerusalem. But he wants them to know that the other less well-off congregations have given. And more importantly, he wants the Corinthians to know why those congregations have given. And it's because of the charis of Christ, the generous undertaking of Jesus, who became poor so that we could become rich. That's the gospel message. Like, in a nutshell, that's the gospel message. I think we know that Paul isn't talking about monetary wealth and poverty when he talks about Jesus becoming poor so that we can become rich. He's referencing how Jesus set aside all of his glorious splendor and joined himself to a broken humanity so that we could all rest in God's grace. How could we possibly not respond to such a generous undertaking? There's absolutely no way that I will ever be able to make enough money to repay Christ for my salvation. But Paul wasn't asking the Corinthians, and nor am I asking you to impoverish yourselves or to live in poverty so that others can be wealthy. Your eagerness, your willingness to share, and your willingness to care for others, that's the greater point. Paul was asking for something much more manageable. He's asking the wealthy congregation of Corinth to give so that there's a fair balance between their abundance and the needs of the Jerusalem church. He's challenging the disparity between those two churches and inspiring the Corinthians to correct it. I think back to the earliest Christians, like in the book of Acts, where they're described as people who everyone sold all of their possessions and they distributed everything evenly amongst the community. They all lived together in a happy little commune, and there wasn't a single needy person in the group. Please don't think that I'm saying that we should live together in a commune and share everything. I love you all very much, but not that much. The point was that everyone took care of each other. Some people had extra money, some people had extra talents, some people had extra knowledge, and all of it was shared. And that was just in one location, but what Paul is trying to create is the same kind of dynamic among the various communities that he's founded. He's trying to get the Corinthians to think beyond their borders, beyond the walls of Glenshaw Valley, beyond the Pittsburgh Presbytery, beyond the borders of the United States. He wants us to think bigger so that the needs of others can be met by our desire to give from our abundance. It's a generous undertaking. How we use our resources, our time, our money, our talents, even our attention, preaches a message of what we believe about God and God's actions in the world. So Paul wants the Corinthians and our actions to reflect the gospel that we believe. And that means engaging in and also accepting generous undertakings. Paul brings home the point by concluding his appeal to the Corinthians by thinking about getting them to think about how they how God redistributed the manna in the wilderness, like in Exodus. The one who had too much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. When they were gathering the manna in the wilderness, no one had too much. If they gathered too much, it rotted and went away. If they didn't gather enough, it still lasted them as long until there was more manna. Trusting that we can spare the extra that we have to support those who don't have enough, man, that can be really difficult. Because I don't know if I ever actually have enough. But God does support our generous undertakings. I also know a lot of people think that it doesn't count as giving if you can't give a lot. That what they have to offer is a pittance compared to what other people can give. So why even bother? But what Paul's saying, and what I'm here to tell you, is that excellence in stewardship isn't about giving enough to have a new building named after you. It's not about starving yourself or living in a shack so others can eat caviar and live in mansions. Stewardship, tithing, generous undertakings are all about your eagerness to express gratitude to the God who provides for all of our needs. It's also about the genuine love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's taking the abundance that you've been blessed with and blessing others so that they can bless others, so that they can bless others. Stewardship is about this unbreakable chain of generous undertakings that all began with our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.